Securities and asset management offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual.
You're listening to The Morning Drive with Chris Beckham on South Georgia's talk leader, News Talk 105.9 WVGA.
...8:06 on this Tuesday morning, back on The Morning Drive, News Talk 105.9 WVGA, brought to you by Valdosta Toyota. Dr. Rick Ambrosek and the good folks at Southern Vein and Laser Center and Preferred Rental Company, we do hope you join us tomorrow. John Unis will be here, one of our favorite folks. He's going to be talking about the 5K run coming up, and also we'll be talking about the rodeo going down in Lake Park this weekend with Kathy Walker will be here to tell us about that tomorrow, so we'll look forward to having both of those fine folks on Wednesday. And always glad on Tuesdays to be joined by Stacy Bush from Bush Wealth Management. How are you?
I'm good. My parents will be here for the rodeo next weekend.
Is that right?
Yep, staying with us. My dad, I don't know if he's chamber board chairman right now, but we grew up in Donaldsonville, Georgia, yeah. And they're doing a rodeo in Donaldsonville as their new kind of chamber event. They used to do something called the Harvest Festival, and they've changed it up for rodeo this year. So they're coming over to hang out, and then I get to go over there for that rodeo. I've been asked to ride a few bulls. I wanted to get your advice whether I should do that or not.
Well, that was going to be my question. Are you going to be riding in Lake Park? I think that would blow up attendance if they knew that Stacy Bush was going to be busting Bronx.
Well, if we could actually get more money given to the James Unis Foundation and for the 5K, I could probably consider doing that.
Don't start us now. Don't tempt us. We can get that thing going now. So that'll be a great time this weekend. So.
Yeah, it should be good. I've been to a rodeo in years, and my dad's been pretty passionate about doing one over there. And so I'm excited to see him give leadership and raise the awareness of the community over there.
Absolutely. Well, kids absolutely love it. Adults love it too, but we went to one. I took my kids to one. Our friend Chrissy Staley up at the Berrien Chamber of Commerce had one a couple of years ago that we went to, and I knew that I would like it, but man, kids, if they're, I mean, all into it, you know, so.
Yeah, I remember as a child going, and of course, my favorite thing I remember as a child is enjoying the clowns, yeah. You know, and putting on the shows and their pants falling down and all that funny stuff, you know. That's the stuff I enjoyed.
Yeah.
So, and then the next weekend, we would go to one of those monster truck things and dirt things. What'd you call those things where the vehicles get in the dirt and run through it real fast? Mud bogs or something.
Mud bogs, something like that. Tractor pulls.
I should go back to that kind of stuff. That was my background, and I miss that kind
of
stuff.
And you're depriving your children of that now.
That is true. Now we have to do baseball tournaments and Lion King plays.
You need some guy yelling at you, Sunday, come out and see the mud fly.
That's right.
Oh, man. Well,
Bigfoot was my favorite truck. Of course, everybody's was.
That's
baby.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the thing I always joke about growing up, and of course, we grew up both in, I'm from Thomasville, you from Donald, we're from Southwest Georgia. So things that happened at Albany, I guess, and Tallahassee were probably akin to both of
that's
us.
That's right.
I tell people, it seems like when I was in high school, I think Alabama toured through about five times a year. Alabama was always playing somewhere around here.
That's exactly right.
Now, I'm a little older than you, but this is mid to late 80s. Goodness gracious. So,
that's right.
The closer you get, they couldn't have gotten any closer.
They just came out with a new album, by the way.
I saw that.
Yeah, I listened to it the other day just to see what they sounded like. They haven't changed a bit. They sound exactly the same.
That's hilarious. So, memories of yesteryear with Stacy Bush. So.
Yeah, good old days.
That's right. Well, and speaking of kids, segue alert, that's kind of our subject this morning is, do your children understand money? And as we talk about this, I think it's a fantastic topic, number one, because you and Kent Gregg and everybody's talked a lot about getting kids to kind of understand the whole concept of money and proper usage and savings and all that kind of thing, and kind of planting those seeds early. And I know sometimes you wonder, I guess parents probably wonder, is it taking or not, because
right. You
know, kids only kind of absorb so much, but there are smart ways to do it like everything else.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we found over the years is that when you have the ability to shape a kid's life and their the filter that they process things through as it relates to not only money, but anything, Chris. Mm-hmm. Really, you have an ability to shape someone's life, their culture, their philosophy. And when you've got that ability very young with children, we believe you should take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Because I was just in a meeting not that long ago on the West Coast and meeting with a family, and we were doing some trust planning, and these things had not been done early on, and so we were dealing with some significant spending issues and desires to keep up with the Joneses and things like that. And if you deal with these things early, and that's what we're going to talk about today, we can potentially avoid some of that.
You know, and so many times, Stacey, we've seen where, let's say, you'll have a family who's been well off and who's done very well successfully financially, and when their kids get older, they have kind of a warped view, and sometimes, unfortunately, we'll kind of run through that money, and hopefully that doesn't happen. But, again, sometimes it's not just what – I guess what I'm saying is it's not just for those families who may not have a whole bunch of money, but even those that do sometimes struggle with it as well, so it affects both sides.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of times people who maybe are not as successful in terms of wealth think if I could just have more money, I could solve the problems. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is not the case. Yeah. The disaster and the lack of relationships and the evil persist even when you get to the next level in terms of maybe having a few more dollars in your pocket. So you're exactly right, Chris. The same problems plague families that don't deal with these issues.
So I guess the question is, when do you start? What's too early maybe to start talking to kids about it?
Well, I mean, I think the earlier the better. Certainly there are going to be times early on in a child's life to where they want something, desire something. Maybe it's a doll, or maybe it's a truck, or maybe it is tickets to an Alabama concert, or to
your child is 50,
or a mud bog, or whatever it may be, yeah. Or maybe it's the Taylor Swift or the Adele concert.
Shoes.
That's a fabulous point. Yeah, and shoes are not cheap these days. I go to some of these websites and want my kids want to pay for shoes. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
I didn't spend that much on shoes from when I was 5 to 19. So.
Yeah, I will say that there's some specific companies, Nike and I think Under Armour, and there's one or two more. I mean, they are making boatloads of money on that product, because their input cost is maybe $10 or $15, yeah, and then they're charging $100-$120 for a pair of shoes. It's crazy.
So is it best, you think, to, when you're talking about giving kids allowance or...
Yeah, so this is, when I talk about starting early, this is what I mean. You've got to actually establish some sort of process that works in your house. And I can't tell every family exactly how to do it. It's kind of a give and take scenario to figure out what works best. Our philosophy in our house is you live in this house, you eat in this house, you have a roof over your head, you have certain responsibilities that you're not going to get paid for.
That's right.
Okay?
Exactly.
You're going to do the job. I don't care how many times we've got to say it. You're going to clean up your room. You're going to hang up the towels after you shower. I mean, you're going to take the trash out. All that stuff that us as parents go through on a regular basis. And I hope I don't throw my wife under the bus, because some of these things she gets frustrated with. The truth is, there's certain things you're not going to earn money from. Over and above that, if you actually function and do things beyond that, we prefer not the term allowance. We're kind of Dave Ramsey fans, so we use the term commission, meaning that you actually did something which actually earns you dollars. And then out of that commission, Chris, 10% off the top you give away, then you save 10%, then you're allowed to allocate 80% for spending needs.
Pretty easy, simple.
Pretty straightforward. And that's kind of how we do it. It may not work for some families, but it works for us. I just wish I was more consistent on giving out the commission on a regular basis. Sometimes ours should be, weekly or monthly, and sometimes it turns into quarterly. Yeah, that's the bad part.
And I think that just every parent probably struggles with that some, because you just get tied up and get busy. But I think still planting those seeds early is important. So we'll talk more about how do you talk to your kids about money, and also maybe moving into younger kids to older kids and getting them to start thinking about their financial future, which I know is a tough thing to get kids to kind of gear their brain towards. But we'll talk with the expert, Stacey Bush from Bush Wealth Management, more about that right after this. You're listening to The Morning Drive on News Talk 105.9. This is WVGA.
You're listening to The Morning Drive with Chris Beckham on Valdosta's information leader, News Talk 105.9, WVGA. Well, I was born
Donaldsonville, Georgia counts as a small town.
It does, absolutely. Okay. Donaldsonville's getting citywide internet, by the way.
Oh, that's big news.
Big news.
That is big news over there.
Broadband hits Donaldsonville before Valdosta. I can see the headline right now.
That is big news to the folks of Seminole County.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Stacy with us, of course, from Bush Wealth Management. We always refer to you to bushwealthmanagement.com. A lot of great pieces of advice, their blogs. They have great articles there and videos, the whole nine yards. Really comprehensive website. And so we urge you to go check that out. And also we often remind you to check out what is your risk number as it refers to your portfolio. And so there's a quick little analysis that you can take there and find out what your risk number is for yourself. We're talking about kids and money and, you know, Stacy, how to kind of really start that conversation. And one thing I know that you've said before is you got to be honest with kids about it. And
right.
Because kids, they've got a kind of a built-in detector when you're not being honest with them. So it's that's a good thing to start off with.
Yeah, the more transparency that you can create in the family culture as it relates around money, the healthier the environment. And what I mean by that is sometimes the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a concept in today's, you know, gluttonous American culture of buy, consume. Sometimes it can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would say about transparency as it relates to kids and money is let kids be involved more quickly with the decision mm-hmm. about a purchase, something that they want, something they need. And if they're involved early on in terms of deciding, well, if we make this decision, then it affects this decision.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a give and take and always not a more is better type scenario, that actually helps as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember distinctly myself personally, and I know this is going to happen with my kids because we're getting close to that age. I was 14, 15 years old, and going back to our you know, the good old days, there was this bike, I think it was called BMX maybe,
yeah,
that I wanted to buy because all the kids had one. And my dad said, you're going to be 16 in like 18 months. Do you
yeah.
really want to spend... It was a ridiculous amount of money,
sure.
$400 or $500 on this stupid bicycle. And I'm like, yeah, I really want to do it. So we laid out the scenario, and I could have got less car. I ultimately decided not to purchase the bike, so I got the most famous car in the world, the 1984 Pontiac Fiero.
Oh, yeah. You could kick it, and it would dent back out. That's what
right. And it was
heard.
Always one headlight that wouldn't come up because the motor was bad, you know.
Right.
So
I remember those.
So those type discussions with children early on, Chris, pay huge dividends for their lifetimes.
Yeah.
That's the type of discussions you've got to have. Be very transparent. Be very honest going on in the early days.
One of the great examples you gave was one time I remember was if you're going back to school shopping, provide a budget for your child. And say, okay, you make the choices now.
Right.
Here's your budget. Here's the pot of money you got to spend. We're going to have to buy this stuff. And so you can look through and kind of – and that's just a good exercise to get them in the mindset of, okay, I do have some confines to work through.
Yeah, anytime you can find – and I have found, and this is not necessarily from a professional or business perspective. This is from my personal experience. I have found the teaching moments always come at unexpected times,
mm-hmm.
and they come at times when I'm least expecting it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, frankly, they're interruptions
yeah.
When those teaching moments come. But I've tried to make myself slow down rather than just doing life, slow right. down enough to take that teaching moment and actually use it and exploit it to my child's gain.
Yeah.
And that's what I would encourage parents to do, is to try to do that and not rush through those times, but actually look for those interruptions
yeah.
that allow those teaching moments, because those are the times when the kids really learn.
Talk about the three bucket approach. This is something, as you talk about getting kids to kind of see their financial future coming up. Tell folks what that means.
Yeah. So the three bucket approach is essentially what I talked about in terms of allocating money to different places.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got 10% that we can give away to charities. You
mm-hmm.
can give to whatever the particular passion is for that child. It may be international missions, and our family, it's international adoption.
Mm-hmm.
You've got different scenarios that play out for different families. The next bucket would be the savings. And we have two really buckets within that one bucket of savings. One is for long-term savings.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be not necessarily retirement for a kid, but it may be, you know, a new home purchase. It might
okay.
be something, you know, prom dress, that
mm-hmm.
type stuff. And then you've got short-term savings, and that may be a car, something they're saving up for, like a new, you know, video game or something like that.
BMX bicycle.
BMX bicycle, yeah. And then the last one would be really what you're allowed to spend.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of saying, hey, you can buy anything you want to at any time.
Right.
For some reason, one of my kids got my wife's Amazon password, and sometimes stuff show up, and I'm like, who in the world authorized this purchase? So it's not that you can spend anything. And then they say, oh, we'll pay you back. Here's our money. Well, first of all, we need to decide if that's actually a viable need before it just shows up on the doorstep.
Exactly. So all good points. Again, as we talk about just kind of getting that mindset. And one of the things we see, and sometimes the product of kids not understanding this at an early age, is once they get out of the home, maybe get off to college, and all of a sudden they get something in their mailbox that says, hey, credit cards, woo,
right.
Free money.
That's right.
And so that's one of the things that, and I know you and your staff have done a great job of going to schools and talking to kids about this, is be wary of that, because it's really easy to get into debt trouble as you get out on your own.
Yeah, it's very popular in terms, it's kind of a breeding ground, if you will, for credit card companies to show up on college campuses. And once you get to that stage of life, you do have the authority to authorize credit application, and you want to be very cognizant of the fact to whether that's actually going to be in your best interest or not, and in your child's best interest. So it's one of those things that I would be very, very careful of about doing, but it is something that will be a learning experience. Sometimes, and that's one of the points I was going to make this morning, is to teach children about debt and what's healthy and what's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a learning experience early on in life, in terms of a hard learning experience, what I call tough love, that many of us have been through, when you have those experiences as it relates to money, mm-hmm. you're a whole lot less to make that mistake in the future.
Yeah, good advice. Again, you know, I learned that was the old the Columbia House, pick 7 tapes for a 99 right. cent, then you every month.
Oh yeah.
That's a real quick debt learner right there. When that bill comes due for some crappy CD you didn't want, or cassette tape back in those days.
Yeah, it was. I think you could get like 19 for a penny or something as CDs, and I did it. And then you would get, the next one was like $14.99 plus $5.99 shopping, and then you had to buy 12 more or something.
Yeah. I never thought about the 12 more. It was just the free ones up front. Yeah, that's another good little lessons like that.
That brings back a lot of memories. Man, I have not thought about that in years, Chris.
Oh, man.
Those are great memories.
I had the tape case full of stuff I got from Columbia House, and they're probably still searching for me somewhere by that crappy Dionne Warwick cassette that I did not want. But that's kind of how they get you.
That's right.
And those things are, there are no cassette tape sales anymore, but there are lots of things like that. And also, you know, when kids are, I know, they're obviously a lot of times selling things for school fundraisers and things like that. I mean, that's another good way, as you say, find those teaching moments, a good way to sit down with them and say, okay, here's, you know, how this needs to go. So.
Yeah, we've got lots of those and going on. We're on four different baseball teams with travel ball and then middle school ball. And then my one of the twins, he doesn't really care for athletics. He's doing the Lion King play at the middle school this weekend. So there's always stuff that needs to be money raised for. So everybody does it differently. We're not big fundraisers. We prefer to actually ask our family and supporters to come alongside us.
Right.
So you've got to do what's in your best interest. The last point I would make as it relates to relating to kids around money, Chris, is as kids get older, if there's family wealth, whether it's $10,000 or $100,000 or $10 million that you're going to pass down, I would say we have found a lot of success with having family meetings.
Yeah.
And you can have family meetings early on, too. We meet once a week as our family and talk about the next week and what's happening and where everybody's got to be kind of thing because of busyness.
Yeah.
But when you have family meetings as it relates to money, you can actually come alongside each other, and then the parents, the patriarchs, can pass down the matriarch can pass down their values and their culture and what made them successful to get these dollars. And when you have those type of meetings and everybody's honest and everybody says this is what won't happen when we're gone, it does transcend generations and allow people to make better decisions with money.
And it's just more family time spent together, which is always good.
That's right. So. Absolutely.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I want to remind our listeners that everything that we covered about Do Your Children Understand Money, you can find on our website at valdostatoday.com. Simply go to the website and search it out there. You'll be able to get all the tips that Stacy talked about today, and we're glad to be able to post that as a way to hopefully make you financially smarter. And in this instance, your kids financially smarter as well.
Securities and asset management offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual.